All right, is that better? Awesome. Okay, so I would encourage you to memorize that verse and do that each month as Kevin gives us those new ones. So a few months ago, Kevin told me, it's like, hey, for 2022, I'm thinking that my theme is going to be follow me. And ever since he mentioned that to me, I haven't been able to get the memes that you see sometimes on social media out of my head. The premise of these is there's really some terrible advice that is given. And then as a joke, you know, it says, follow me for more recipes, follow me for more dating advice, something like that. There's a few of these we're going to look at, actually. Yeah. Sounds pretty good. This is one of my favorites. Yeah. All right. Banana bread. I think those are all the recipes. We have a few other ones as well. That's pretty solid parenting advice too. I'm new to the parenting thing, but that seems pretty good. That one's pretty good. I checked with Mallory. I was like, hey, can I use this? And she gave me the go. So if you're mad, it's her fault. So I think we have one more maybe. I like this one too. There are a lot of voices out there that would encourage you to follow them. These are obviously jokes, but there are a lot of voices in the world that would ask you to come and follow after them and be influenced by them and do what they tell you to do. There's only one voice, though, that we really should be listening to. And so as we dive into this theme, I would encourage you to just embrace it, see what these scriptures that Kevin gives us have to offer, and just really try to, like I said, embrace this idea of follow me. If you haven't been here the last couple weeks, really Kevin has just kind of introduced this idea. From here on out, we're going to get a little bit more specific into some of those areas that Jesus has called us to follow him in. Down the road, we'll look at parenting. Follow me and I will show you how to parent. Marriage. Follow me and I will show you how to have the best marriage possible. And lots of different things. This morning, what we're going to look at is the idea of forgiveness. Follow me and I'll show you how to forgive. Now I know a few things. I think every single one of us in this room, whenever we hear that idea, something immediately comes to mind. And maybe that is something that you're thankful for, that you've been able to forgive someone of, a hurt that has happened to you, that you've been able to move on from. For others, maybe for a lot of us, there are things that come to mind that if we're being honest, we would say, you know what, that's something I really haven't been able to get over, and I really don't want to hear a sermon about forgiveness because that's just not something I'm ready to do. Here's what I know. Beyond that as well. I don't know how someone has hurt you. I don't know the situations you've been in. I'm sure they're difficult and extremely hard to get over. And even though I can't put myself in your place of what has happened to you, I know that Jesus understands. And so when he says, follow me and do this, he's not just asking you something that is unreasonable or something that he himself hasn't done, right? Jesus on the cross, as he was hanging there, some of his last words were, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do. And so Jesus completely understands what he's asking you to do, and it may be hard, and it might be something that you're not able to do right away. This is something that may be a process that you have to work through, and actually, even right now, there may be some of you who you just need to say a prayer. If you're in a spot, God, I really don't want to hear this message, but help me to be open over the next few minutes of what you're going to say, because even though I'm not ready now, I want to be ready in the future. And I want you to help me get to a place where I can offer up forgiveness. Maybe that's something that you need to do. Before we get in there, we're going to see exactly why Jesus would call us to do this too. See, I think something that's really important with this idea, yes, Jesus calls us to follow him, and he wants us to be redeemed. He wants us to become like the image of his son, and through the Spirit, you know, become like Jesus and ultimately have salvation with him in heaven. That's maybe the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear these words, follow me, right? Yeah, follow me to heaven, follow me to the afterlife. But I think what we have to understand too, whenever Jesus calls us to follow him, it's not just for something in the future, it's for right now. In John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. Something we talk about often with students is, you know, Jesus doesn't put rules and guidelines and ask all these things of you just because he likes enforcing rules on you or because he likes to see if you're going to obey him or not. Those things are in place because it's the best thing for your life. When Jesus calls us to follow him, it's because he wants the best life possible for you. So he says, do you want a great marriage? Follow after me and you'll have the best marriage you can have. Do you want to be a good parent? Follow after me and I will show you how to do that. Do you want to be able to have good relationships with your friends and with your coworkers? Do you want to be able to serve and endure and worship and do all the things that I've asked you to do? Follow after me and I will put that blueprint in place for you. And the same thing is true for us this morning in terms of forgiveness. And the reason that that is so important, the reason that you need to be able to get to a place where you can forgive so that you can have the life that we're talking about, is because if we're not willing to forgive, if we hold on to grudges and we let those things fester, they end up affecting all those other areas of our life. See, it's tempting to write off a relationship and that person has hurt me, and that's okay. You know, I don't need that person in my life. But when we don't forgive them, even if you don't realize it, it affects all those other relationships. Maybe you can write off that other person, but that anger and that bitterness, that's gonna seep into the relationships you have with your kids. That's gonna seep into the relationships that you have with your spouse. When those things go unresolved, they don't just affect that situation, they affect every area of your life. Ephesians 4:26 says this, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, whenever you're angry about something, take care of it quickly. Don't let it fester and hang around. Resolve it quickly. And don't give the devil an opportunity. When we're unwilling to forgive and we let something like anger stick around with us, Satan would love to jump on that opportunity and cause division. He would love the opportunity to get in there and man, you think you've put in the past, he loves to dig it back up. Don't give him that chance. Hebrews 12:14-15 talks about bitterness and it says this, pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. See, bitterness defiles many. It doesn't just stay with you. It will seep out into every other area of your life. And so it's really important that we can get to a place, no matter what has happened, that we are able to say, okay, God, with your help, I want to be able to forgive this person. So we're going to look at two different events in Jesus' life where he talks about forgiveness. The first one is in Luke chapter 7. And it starts in verse 36. It says this, then one of the Pharisees invited him to eat with him. He entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And a woman in the town who was a sinner found out that Jesus was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume and stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears. She wiped his feet with her hair, kissing them and anointing them with the perfume. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what kind of woman this is touching him. She's a sinner." So here's the implication. It just says that she's a sinner. Most likely, this woman is a prostitute. And she has come into the house, and there's these two characters. One of them is a Pharisee, a godly person. He's invited Jesus to this dinner, not because he actually wants to be with Jesus, but he probably just likes being around influential people. And there's this other woman, this sinner, and she comes, and something plays out between both of those individuals. Picking up in verse 40, Jesus replied to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he said, "Say it, teacher." "A creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Since they could not pay it back, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one he forgave more." "You have judged correctly," he told him. Turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she, with her tears, has washed my feet and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with olive oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. That's why she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." So here's the first thing this morning. When Jesus says, "Follow after me, and I'll show you how to forgive," the first thing that we have to understand is he says, "Follow after me, and I'll show you how much you have been forgiven." There's a saying that you've probably heard that hurt people hurt people. Well, the same thing should be true of Christians, that forgiven people forgive people. And see, whenever we understand the debt that we owe to Jesus was something that we could never pay, whenever we understand that, man, we stand before a holy God and we don't deserve for him to cancel our debt, whenever we understand how much we have been forgiven, we then can extend grace to other people. And that is something that we need to preach to ourselves on a daily basis. When we lose sight of the fact that we get to have communion with the Father, not based on anything that we've done, not based on any of our righteous acts or our works, but simply because Jesus looked at us and said, "That person is willing to die for." Even though they don't deserve it, even though there's nothing they could do to earn it, I am going to give my life so that that person can be forgiven. When we remind ourselves of that and preach that to ourselves, how can we not then extend grace to other people? I think what's really important is for us to understand that we're the woman in the story, right? Simon was a sinner as well. But we're the person who has been forgiven much. We might be tempted to think of the two when Jesus says the person that's been forgiven much loves much. Sometimes we may be able to think, well, I'm the one who's been forgiven little, right? I mean, those other people, they've been forgiven much. But that's just not true. We're all that person. We're all the one who has been forgiven much. Because our sins compared to a holy God don't match up. The other thing that we have to remember if we're going to understand this idea of forgiveness, Jesus says, follow me, and I'll show you how to forgive more than you ever thought possible. In Matthew 18, starting verse 21, Peter approached him and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? As many as seven times? I tell you, not as many as seven, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. So here's the idea. Back in this time, the rabbis would have taught that forgiving someone three times, that's sufficient, okay? That if the same person hurt you once, twice, a third time, then you forgive that person. But a fourth time, then they've gone too far, you're able to write them off. And so actually when Peter comes and asks this question, he's even going way beyond that, right? Peter, I don't know, maybe he thinks, he's like, hey, I'm gonna impress Jesus, right? Like, hey, Jesus, seven times here, right? Not just three, that's more than twice for those of you who aren't good at math, right? But Jesus says, no, not seven times, 70 times seven. And the idea is not 490 times. The idea is, no, whenever you've been forgiven much, you forgive without limit. Whenever you realize the grace that has been given to you, you extend that grace no matter how many times someone hurts you. No matter how many times they offend you, no matter what they've said to you, no matter what they've done to you, you extend them grace. And the call that he puts on us is, follow me and I'll show you how to do that. I know that seems unreasonable. I know that seems hard. And you don't think you can do it. But I promise you, if you follow me, I will show you how to forgive more than you ever thought possible. And so that's the beginning of the story. And Jesus goes on to tell a parable. He says a master starts going over his debts, and he goes to one of his servants that owes him 10,000 talents. And he approaches the servant and he tells him, this is the debt that you owe me, and you need to pay me or I'm going to throw you and your family into jail. And the servant pleads with him and he says, there's no way I could pay that back. Please have mercy on me. And the master does. He cancels his debt and he lets him go. And that same servant who's had his debt forgiven then turns around and goes and finds another person who owes him a debt, this time only 100 denarii. See, 10,000 talents, we don't know exactly what that amount is. It's an unpayable debt. There's no way the first servant would have ever been able to repay the amount of money that he owed. 100 denarii, a denarii was about a day's wage, so a couple months worth of income, still a significant debt, right? But nowhere near what has already been forgiven of the first servant. And he finds the servant, he says, hey, you owe me this money. And the same conversation plays out. If you don't give it to me, I'm going to throw you into jail. The servant says, I can't repay you. I don't have this money. Please have mercy on me. But this time, the servant doesn't extend grace. And he has that servant thrown into jail. And when the rest of the servants find out about what's happened, they go and tell the master. And the master is obviously furious with them. And he goes and finds the first servant. And then at the very end of this parable, Jesus says this, the same thing is true of you. If we do not forgive those who have hurt us, then the Father will not forgive us as well. That's a pretty... It's a pretty sobering thought that when we're not willing to let go of the angerness and the bitterness, whenever we're not willing to get past the grudges that we hold against other people, God sees that. And that affects his forgiveness towards us as well. A few weeks ago, there was an officer in Houston who was killed in the line of duty. His name was Richard Houston. And a few days after he was killed at his funeral, his daughter, who I think was 18, gave one of the eulogies at his funeral. So we're actually going to watch just a small little clip of what she said at his funeral.
He was in stable condition, part of me was relieved. My prayer is that someday down the road, I'd get to spend some time with the man who shot my father. Not to scream at him, not to yell at him, not to scold him, simply to tell him about Jesus.
There's one thing that's just so evident when you hear her speak like that. That is a young lady who, without a doubt, has encountered Jesus, who knows him and is following him. And even when something that egregious has happened to her family, because she understands, I didn't deserve to be forgiven either. And because I didn't, who am I to hold a grudge against someone else? So here's the thing. Even when it's hard, if we're unwilling to forgive other people, really what we're saying is that what that person has done to me is worse than what I've done to God. If he has canceled our debt and said that you are forgiven and we're unwilling to do that ourselves to other people, that's really what we're stating. That their hurt is worse, that what they've done is so much more offensive to me than what I ever did to God. And so when we remember that debt and we preach it to ourselves over and over again, just how unworthy we are to stand before a holy God, then we can get past any hurt, any anger, any bitterness that we're holding on to. Maybe you're not quite ready to do that. And the band's going to come up here in a minute and sing. And as they do the invitation song, maybe you just need to spend more time in prayer. Just asking God, help me get to the place where I can forgive. I don't want it to affect the rest of my life. I don't want it to affect my other relationships. Maybe you're here, though, and you've never really experienced the forgiveness we're talking about. Maybe this whole idea sounds foreign to you, that God could forgive something that you've done. Maybe that's something that you need to visit with us about as well. And if you want to catch us after the service, we would love to talk to you about that as well. I'm going to pray and the worship team is going to come up. Father, we thank you that your grace is just so radical that we really don't understand it as we sit back and think about how we have sinned against you and what we've done, that you would look at us and say that we could have our debt canceled is something that blows our minds. Father, help us to embrace that. Help us to extend the same kind of grace that you've extended to us. Father, if there's anyone here that has never experienced that kind of forgiveness that you offer to us, we pray for them as well. You really do call us to the best life possible. And so, God, we are grateful for that. Help us as we follow after you in this year. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.